There's a wonderful book that I highly recommend. Nora, did you pick up a copy of this book? It's called Conversations with God, by Ruchi Koval, I think is how you pronounce her last name. And it's a wonderful book that just gives these very relatable explanations of the prayers. So I figured that it would be good for us to use it as our text for as we're going through the Shemoneh Esrei. And I have copies like this if you want to take notes or whatever. You have these copies you keep for yourself. Feel free to keep for yourself. I wanted to just review a little bit because this is not just for us to be learning, but this is also hopefully going to be impacting the way that we pray. So hopefully we can keep in mind some of the hands-on thoughts and ideas with us when we're actually in the process of prayer. So we had mentioned that we begin the Shemoneh Esrei at the top of page 60, as you have in front of you on the top of the page on the top left corner. We begin the Shemoneh Esrei with a pasuk in Tehillim, where David HaMelech says, King David says, Adonai Sfatai Tiftach Ufi Agid Tilatecha, that he asks, Hashem, please can you open up my lips so that I can give your praise. And we mentioned that there's really three ideas that David HaMelech was trying to convey when he said this. Number one is that he was conveying before Hashem that Adonai Sfatai Tiftach, please open up my lips so that way I can give praise to you, as if to say that who am I to give praise to you, Hashem? Right? I'm a mere mortal. I've made mistakes. So please, Hashem, forgive me in order so that I can have the ability to actually speak with you. So that's the first thing we have in mind when we come into our Shemoneh Esrei is give me the ability to connect with you, Hashem. I'm this mere little person here on earth. And you're this vast being that is all-encompassing everything. Give me that ability. Give me that channel to be able to connect with you. The second idea we said is that David HaMelech was asking God when he said, "Adonai Sfatai Tiftach Ufi Agid Tehillatecha," open up my lips, I can give proper praise to you. He was saying to God, "I want to make this tefillah right now as impactful as possible. I want it to have an impact on me. I want to become a changed person from it." Like we mentioned from the Kuzari that when somebody walks into a prayer, their whole life, everything was leading up to that moment. That moment, right now, in this conversation you're about to have with God, everything was leading up to this moment right now. And that if we believe in the power of prayer, which we do, then that means that everything that's going to be happening after this point will be impacted by this prayer right now. So David HaMelech, King David, is saying to God, I want to make the most of this moment right now. Please help me make the most of this moment. That's the second thing we can have in mind before we begin our Shemoneh Esrei. Number one, we said is, I'm just a mere mortal. Please, Hashem, allow me the channel to be able to connect with you. And number two is, help me make the most out of this moment. Number three, we pointed out that David HaMelech was saying, when he said, Adonai Sfatai Tiftach Ufi Agid Tehillatecha, to please God open my lips so I can give proper praise of you, is very simply, is help me daven. It's a nerve-wracking experience. It's almost like a stage fright, right? I'm a person that makes mistakes and has flaws and has blemishes that's coming and standing in front of God, right? Stage fright, we explained, is not something that happens because somebody is unprepared, right? That's something else. Most of the time, stage fright or butterflies or when somebody's nervous, it's not because they don't know what to say. They know exactly what to say, but it's that the audience that they're in front of is intimidating. It can be very intimidating talking to God. So we say to Hashem, please make this easier on me. Emotionally easier on me, so that way I can engage in this process of prayer. And these are.
What you are saying, I feel good. I feel like my message is not enough.
I agree with you. It's amazing, right? When you really stop and have that in mind, then it changes the whole experience. Changes the whole experience. I agree with you 100%, Rachel.
Yeah.
Changes the whole experience. Changes the whole experience. So that's line number one. And then last time, we started breaking down the Shemona Esrei. So we're in the second paragraph in the Hebrew on page 60. It's also transliterated below in the photocopy. We started by saying, Baruch Ata Adonai, which technically is translated as Blessed Are You Hashem, which really we said is that we are trying to convey two messages here. Of Baruch Ata Hashem, the two messages we're trying to convey is, number one, I truly believe that everything comes from God. You are the source of all blessing. God, you are the source of all blessing. I need to acknowledge that before I can even begin starting to consider asking you for things, is you are the source of all blessing. Number two is that I desire that that blessing come towards me. And it's those two things we have in mind when we say, Baruch Ata Hashem. God, you are Baruch. You are blessed. You are the source of all blessing. And I'm engaging with you because I want that blessing to come upon me as well. We continue when we say, Eloheinu ve'Elohe Avoteinu. You are Eloheinu. Eloheinu means that God is all powerful. He is, when we say all powerful, we mean that all power, all energy in this world, the source of it is God. The source of all energy is God in this world. He is Elokeinu. He is all encompassing, all of the power, all of the strength, all of the capabilities that exist in this world. The source of it is all from Hashem. So even my ability to stand here right now and engage in prayer is because you're giving me the ability to do so. And in fact, we said that whenever we encounter this name of God of Eloheinu, that's what we have to have in mind. We have to have in mind that God is the source of all capabilities in this world. It's similar, like we said, when you open a sink. When you open a sink, you're not creating water at that moment. When you open a sink, when you open the faucet of the sink, you're just allowing a much larger source of water to allow it to flow into, you know, where you want the water to come. But you're not creating water at that moment. You're not using any real strength to create that. All of that is just from a larger source. All capability that we have in this world comes from a larger source. And therefore, when I'm going to be asking for X, Y, or Z, I'm asking the one source of all capabilities in this world, and that's God. Now we continue. The Elohe Avotenu, and he is the God of our forefathers. We mentioned that why is it we're bringing up our forefathers here? Why? Why are we bringing up our forefathers? So the Gemara Megillah on Daf Yud Zion says that the reason we're bringing up our forefathers here is because we know that our forefathers exemplified the major attributes of God. And that basically there's three major attributes of God, at least the ones that we encounter, right? God's infinite, so it's impossible for us to acknowledge every single aspect of God, but at least there's three that we have a pretty good understanding of, at least on a superficial level. Those three are, number one, the fact that God is abundantly kind. He's infinitely kind. That's chesed, the aspect of God of kindness. Number two is gevura, God's strength and might. And number three is that God is wholesome, meaning all truth emanates from God. There's nothing about God that isn't true, isn't just, isn't right. Everything that God does, everything that God represents, and everything that is that can be associated with God is something that is true and right and just. These three aspects of God, of chesed, kindness, gevura, strength, and emes, wholesome truth, were manifested in our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Abraham represented ultimate kindness. He represented ultimate kindness. Now, where did he come up with that? It's not that Avraham figured that out in a vacuum, but it's that Avraham used what he understood about God. He understood that God was and is abundantly kind, infinitely kind, and therefore he tried to emulate that. So when we say to Hashem, we say in the Shemona Esrei, we say Eloheinu v'lo avoteinu, you're the source of everything, and you are the God of our forefathers, meaning to say that our forefathers emulated these three aspects of you that I want to tap into. I want to tap into your chesed, your kindness, like Avraham did. I want to tap into your gevura, your strength, the fact that there's nothing that if you want it to go away, you'll make it go away. You want it to heal, you'll make it heal. You have all the strength in the world. Yitzhak understood that. Yitzhak had a reverence of God, right? Who was Yitzhak? Yitzhak was the one that went onto the altar, right? Yitzhak was the one that postured himself before Hashem to say, right, as on the altar, when God tells Avraham, you know, bring up your child as a sacrifice by the Akedah, bring up your child as a sacrifice. Yitzhak, okay, let's go. Right? Because he had this reverence of God. He understood that God is all powerful. He's the mightiest of all. And number three is Emes, that Yaakov understood that everything about God is truth. And therefore, I need to emulate that, which is why Yaakov is referred to in the Torah as Yaakov Ishtam. He is called the wholesome one because he emulated Emes. He emulated truth and just and righteousness. And it's these three aspects we're trying to bring out over here. That's why we continue in the Shemona Esrei. We say, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov. Right? He is the God that Avraham understood, meaning chesed, kindness. He's the God that was emulated by Yitzchak in strength. And he's the God that is emulated by Yaakov in Emes. And it's three aspects that we try and bring out in our Shemona Esrei. It's interesting. There's a Medrash Tanchuma. It's talking specifically about God and his ultimate kindness. There's a Medrash Tanchuma that actually writes something incredible. The Medrash is discussing when the three angels had come to visit Avraham. Right? Avraham is recovering from his bris milah. He's sitting at his tent and he sees these travelers coming by. Right? So at that moment, he was having a conversation with God. He was having a gilui shechina. God's presence was revealed to him. He leaves God in order to go collect his guests. And he brings them in and he offers them something to drink, something to eat. And he brings them into his tent in order to take care of them. This is what the Torah tells us. The Medrash picks up and says, what happened when they were done eating? La'achar shahaya ma'achilin. After they were finished eating, says the Medrash. Umashkan, and after they finished drinking, Hayum Bevarchen also, the guests gave Avram a blessing, meaning they said to him, thank you so much for, right? You should have a lot of bracha and atzlacha. You should have only blessing and kindness should come to you, right? Like a good guest should, right? Compliment the host, give a nice blessing to the host, right? Avram responds and he says, Liatem Ivarchim, you're giving me a blessing. I'm not the address of all this goodness. Don't speak to me. Barhu Labal Habayis, you should give a blessing to the ultimate host. Who's the real host? God. God is the source of all of everything that we ate, everything that we drank, everything that we have. God's the ultimate source. Shenotin l'chol brios, he gives to not only us, he gives to all of the living creatures everything that they need. Ochel u'mashkev v'notin lam ruach, he gives them life, he gives them food, he gives them drink, he gives us everything. So they said to him, v'ayu omrim lo, so they asked him, they said, heichan hu, how do we bless God? Amar lahem, he said, you say the following. Shalit b'shamayim uva'aretz, the one who controls the heavens and the earth. U'mamit u'mecheyeh, the one who brings death and life. Mochetz v'rofeh, the one that gives illness and heals. Tzaris ha'over b'me'imo, the one that constricts a human while it's still living in its mother's womb, and also motzio lavir olam, and also allows that same being to be able to live in the vastness of the world. It's an incredible, that is one thing, B'li Ayin Hara, thank God, I've been in the delivery room 4 times. One thing I'll just never get over is that one moment, the baby is living in an air, in a constricted area, and had been for 9 months without any air, just in amniotic fluid, and then comes into the world and then adjusts in an instant into a new reality. It's just mind-blowing. Breathes. It's just mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. Megadol tzmechim v'ilanot. This is the God that allows all vegetation to grow. Morid shol v'ya'ol. Kivan shehayu shol min kach. When the guests heard this, hayu shol in ketza nevarchoso. So then, how do we actually give the blessing? You explain to us why we need to, but tell us what the blessing is. So they umachsikin lo tovus. We can properly address the source of all this goodness. Haya Omer Lahem, Avram said to them, say the following, Amur Baruch Hashem HaMivurach Lo'olam Vaed, blessed is the source of all blessing forever. Baruch Nosein Lechem U'mazon L'chol Basar, blessed is the one who gives sustenance to all. So that means, says the what the Medrash is trying to bring out to us, is that Avram's loving kindness really stemmed from a place of Hakaras HaTov. It really stemmed from a place of recognizing what the source of all good is, right? If a person wants to become like Avraham, that's emulating the kindness of God, one needs to really work on, well, the first step is, well, what's the source of everything I have that allows me to do kindness, right? That if a person really wants to, be somebody that gives more tzedakah, so we need to think about, well, it's really not me that's giving the tzedakah, because it's really not mine. I'm not the one that's, I'm not just giving charity. It's really that I'm just paying forward something that was given to me by a higher source, right? When I want to, when somebody needs an extra hand with something, right? The reason I'm going to go do it is because, well, how could I not, right? God had given me something, gave me capabilities, gave me resources, gave me intellect. So how I'm just going to be selfish with those gifts? I have to use it because God is the ultimate source of all of this. And therefore, I need to use it for good. I need to emulate what God did. So when we have our starting place of a place of Hakaras HaTov, then we're going to be able to become people that are able to live up to the kindness of God, the kindness of Hashem. It reminds me, we'll just mention, it's a little bit off topic, but the concept of being a makir tov, being somebody that has a karas tov, that sees the good and recognizes what the source of all good is, somebody that lives that way. My Rebbe of David Hirsch told us, he said that you'll never meet a bad person that's a makir tov, that's a person that has gratitude. Person that has gratitude, real sincere gratitude, hard-pressed to find that person to be a bad person. An ingrate's a different story. But somebody that has gratitude, that's really the source of all positive attributes of an individual. In fact, there's a comment that's made by the Rabbeinu Bechaya, one of the great Rishonim of the 13th century, says something very similar. It says really the root of all good attributes is this, what we're talking about, is recognizing what the source of all goodness is, and it comes from God. There's a famous question that's posed by Rabbi Yosef Karo. Rabbi Yosef Karo lived 1488 to 1575. He authored the Beis Yosef, which is the Encyclopedia of Jewish Law, and also the Shulchan Aruch, which is really the index of Jewish law, the code of Jewish law. There's a question that he brings up that's really posed even a couple hundred years earlier by the Rush, who was one of the major rabbis in Frankfurt and Mainz in the 13th century, and then moved to France at the beginning of the 14th century. Moved to Spain at the beginning of the 14th century, excuse me. He also poses a similar question, which is Hanukkah is an 8-day holiday. Why is Hanukkah an 8-day holiday? So we know because when the Jewish people had the ability to re-inaugurate the temple, so they went to go light the menorah. In fact, they had to put the menorah together because the menorah was stolen. So they had to make a new menorah. And then when they wanted to go light the menorah, they were only able to find enough pure oil to last for one day. God made a miracle. It lasted for 8 days. So there's a question that's a very strong question, which is, hold on one second. If there was enough oil to last for one day, so how long was the miracle? The miracle was the fact that it lasted for 8 days. The miracle was not a 8-day miracle. It was really a 7-day miracle because there was enough oil for one day. If there was enough oil for one day, so then it was only a 7-day miracle. So how long should Hanukkah be? Hanukkah should be 7 days, not 8 days. So why is it 8 days? So this is the question that's posed by Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Beis Yosef. It's posed by the Tosa Rush. This question, I have a book. It's actually in my shtender right over there, but a book that Brooke bought for me for my birthday, probably like 6 or 7 years ago. One of my favorite books that has 100 answers to the question. I have a PDF of a book that has 300 answers to the question. There's apparently a book out there that has 500 answers to the question. There's a lot of answers, and most of them are pretty good answers. But one answer to the question, I heard from one of my rabbis, Rabbi J.J. Schachter. He basically said that perhaps the question is not a good question. Because the question is assuming what? They had enough oil to last for one day, which means that the fact that the oil lasted one day was not a miracle. The question's a bad question because the fact that oil ignite the fact that oil acts as burns, why is that not miraculous? Right? If I were to put water into the candelabra and light it, It wouldn't light. If I were to put soda in, it wouldn't light. If I put coffee in, it wouldn't light. Put oil, it lights. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And when we and therefore Chazal instituted, our rabbis instituted, day one is the day of Hakaras HaTov. Recognizing the fact that this is incredible. Everything's amazing. It's like we were saying before, like a baby's born. It's miraculous. Comes out, just breathes. Like my brother's father-in-law, Rabbi Schwartzberg, says that he was once in the nursery at the mommy baby unit of the hospital, and he was standing there with a doctor, and he noticed that one of the babies unfortunately had some issues. And he said to the doctor, he said, it's really miraculous that, the baby is able to live considering everything that it has. And, the doctor responded to Rabbi Schwartzberg and said, that's less miraculous than all the healthy ones. That all the healthy ones are really married. Everything is working perfectly. It's miraculous. It's absolutely miraculous. And that's what part of what we try and bring out when we say Elohe Avraham, when we recognize God as the God of kindness that was emulated by Avraham, the source the reason why Avraham was able to be that person that embodied Chesed is because he understood this. He understood that we can't take anything for granted, cannot take anything for granted. So let's continue in the Shemona Esrei. So we understand, we started, we said, Adonai Sfatai Tiftach Ufi Agiti Latecha, and now we start a Shemona Esrei. We bow, we bend our knees, Baruch, Ata, we bow, and we say, Hashem, Adonai, and we lift ourselves up immediately. Remember, we lift ourselves up immediately because if we say God's name and we're bent over, we better stand up straight because we know that God allows us to stand up straight. So God is the Zokef Kefufim. He allows us to bend up straight. So we have to get up immediately. So we get up and we continue. Eloheinu, He is the source of all strength, of all capabilities. Elohe Avoteinu. And I am from a family that understands what God is all about. Who are my ancestors? Elohei Avraham, God of Avram, who understood through gratitude that God is abundantly kind, infinitely kind, and therefore we need to emulate that. Elohei Yitzchak, God is beyond strength. He is all strength. Yitzchak had a reverence of God to understand that. That's why Yaakov, by the way, refers to his father's relationship with God as Pachad Yitzchak, that Yitzchak had a reverence of God. And then number three, Elohei Yaakov. Yaakov was the Ishtam. He was, as the Zohar refers to Yaakov Avinu, as Yaakov Shlima, that Yaakov was wholesome. He understood that God represents truth, that everything about God is true. Everything about God is just and right. And I want to emulate that myself. And that's the way I'm opening my Shmona Esrei, because I understand that, God, you are the source of everything. You are anything you decide from what I'm going to be asking for. Your decision is a just and right decision. That if anything needs to change, you're the source that can change it, because you're the God of Gevurah, of strength, like Yitzchak. And God, ultimately, everything that you do for us, it comes from a place of loving kindness, like Avraham Avinu. That's how we open up our Shmona Esrei. We continue our Shmona Esrei. We'll do a few more words just to wrap up this concept. We continue and say, Ha'el, Ha'gadol, Ha'gibor, Va'anora, that God is the great, strong, and awesome God, Hanora, the awesome God. So what are these different adulations over here? So these different adulations is that we are saying Ha'el. Ha'el means that you are, again, the one of powerful chesed, of powerful kindness. A powerful kindness meaning to say that you have given us the ability to actually understand this aspect of you so that we can emulate you. You gave us the ability to actually understand your loving kindness. So that way, we can emulate you. And then we say, HaGadol HaGibor VaHanora. Gadol is referring to the chesed of God, the kindness of God, going back to Avraham. These three descriptions. HaGibor is referring to the Gevura, the strength of God, as represented by Yitzchak. And number three, VaHanora, the awesomeness of God, meaning the fact that God is wholesome, he's all-containing, and meaning that everything he does is of perfect truth, just, and right. That's represented by the MS, the truth of Yaakov. And so this is the way we open up the Shmona Esrei. God willing, next time, we'll continue in our discussion. But right now, at least we have a good working understanding of what we're trying to bring out of the beginning of our Shmona Esrei. Of what we're trying to do, the first thing we're trying to do is that we recognize that God, you're the source of everything. You're the source of all blessing, and I would like for that blessing to come upon me. And I also recognize that you are ultimately loving and kind, and therefore everything you do give me, I appreciate. And therefore, I try and pay it forward. And number two is that you're the Elohei Yitzchak. You're the God that Yitzchak emulated, meaning that you're a God of strength. If anything needs to change, I know that you can change anything. If I need anything, I know you can give me anything. Number three is that I know whatever decision you're going to make is just and right and wholesome and true, because you are Elohei Yaakov. You are the God that was emulated by Yaakov, who emulated truth. Okay, we'll stop here for now. Now, next time we'll continue with the next part. Exactly, we're just going to continue. Yeah. I think what we'll do also is we're going to, just like we did today, we'll start by just reviewing what we did quickly last time. So that way, when we go into our Shmona Esrei, at least when we're reading the words, we're remembering a little bit the discussions we have. So hopefully it impacts what we're learning, what we're diving in.
Thank you. That was good.
Take care, Marlene.